August 31, 2015, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting, 3:02 p.m.
Call the Board of Commissioners meeting in order. Would you please stand joined at Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Yes.
Oral, please.
Tommy.
Here.
Scott.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Dick.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Okay. Securing copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available by review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, August 17, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims if it's applicable. Approved chair to sign the Nebraska Crime Commission 2015 Community Based Juvenile Services HCBLV 265A supplemental allocation of $19,397. And total grant dollar of $84,157, 10% in kind match. Approved chair to sign agreement between Dakota County and the Heartland Counseling to provide alcohol and drug education classes for the juvenile and the diversion program. Monies spent will be from the Crime Commission grant. Approved chair to sign agreement between Dakota County and Mary Trigger to provide documents, translation, and interpreter services for juveniles, the diversion program. Money spent will be from Crime Commission grant. We need a motion to approve items to the consent agenda from A to F.
So moved. Sorry.
Moved by Commissioner Busquets, second by Commissioner Rudy. Call roll, please.
Scott.
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. New business. We got several approved resolutions, but it needs to be approved individually, so... pardon me? Okay. Okay. Yes, you're right. Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Before the resolutions, we got an item A, open bids. Award for the lease purchase of the hydraulic trailer. Fred.
Tony, you can't open those bids until 3:05. So why don't you go...
Go real slow.
Why don't we do...
By the time he starts, it should be there, shouldn't it? By the time he gets his envelope all opened up.
I've got 1 minute.
We could do item B.
Item
and
B?
And then go to A.
Okay. One of the new business in item B, approved resolution 15C, Dash 028 7 final allocation for the levy authority for the Dakota County Agriculture Society. We need a motion to approve that.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 15C dash 028 to allocate the levy for the Agriculture Society.
Second.
Move and seconded. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
I want to stay because I'm on the fair board.
Okay.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, 3:05. Fred, open work bids for the lease purchase of the hydraulic trailer.
First bid is from Jim Hawk Truck Trailers, Sioux City, Iowa. It's a 2014 XL Specialized 110 hydraulic 55-ton detachable, and the net bid after discount is $64,150. Is it brand new?
2014.
Says it's a 2014. It does not say used anywhere. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
Second one is Proline Trailers, Wendell, North Carolina. Proline 50-ton detachable, net bid of $48,610.
Does that include delivery, Fred, as you say?
Delivery will be on or about October 15th, 2015.
So as far as charges?
That price must be included in the delivery?
Yes.
Okay.
Second one, or third one, is from Northern Truck Equipment Corp.
Where are they at?
It's got a stamp over, a sticker over it. Sioux Falls. Excuse me. /16 Interstate. His net bid is $53,593. Fourth one is another one from.
Is it? That's 50 ton too, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay.
He does not state that it is, but it is written on our.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Right above it, year, make, model, and 50 ton detachable triple axle is what we got on our bid form.
Okay, that's fine.
But he does not actually state that on the bid form, but it is written.
Okay.
I'm supposing it is this. He's got his specs. Load capacity 102,000. Fourth one is from Northern Truck Equipment out of Sioux Falls again. This one is by Specialized Truck Equipment. This is the brand of it. It is at $57,851. And it is also a 50 ton on the spec sheet. Fifth one, Murphy Tractor out of Sioux City. It's a 2015 15 XF-100-3 hydraulic felling, F-E-L-L-I-N-G trailer, and it is at $57,000 even.
Okay.
Sixth one is from Titan Machinery out of Sioux City. $2,015 Interstate. It is at $57,600.
Say that again?
$57,600.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Fred.
Is that it?
That's it.
That should do it.
I think we need a road committee to look at these. There's quite a variance in bids here.
That one that's $48,000, it's a long ways away. Make sure it's FOB here if we decide to go with that one. Or anyway, I move that the road committee, Brent, look these bids over. Maybe look the brochures over, look the trailers, make sure everything's comfortable, and make a decision.
That's a good call.
Sure you're giving us
the
authority to look all the bids, you know, that's because that's six of them, you know, it's quite a bit. So you look.
Yeah, you got three at 57 and some change, 53, 48, 64.
But the 148, you know, it's kind of a, you know, look into it, see what it is.
Yeah, you know, that's, it's too good to be true, usually it is.
Well, I heard through the vine from somebody, they told me, I did a little research, and they said the company, that Proline, if this is true or not, I don't know, but they said they know some people that's bought them, they keep them for a year or two, and they try to get rid of them.
Okay.
That they're heavy.
Okay.
So
I
you
don't
can
know.
Investigate. So that's your motion, right, Miller?
Yes.
There's three of them with 57.
I'll second it myself. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes. Before I vote, I just want to make a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
We need to make sure that each one of these, the frame rails, the tires, and the hydraulic systems and stuff like that are all apples to apples.
Because that makes
a huge difference in, you know, what kind of steel they're using in their trailers and stuff. You know, if they're using just run of the mill or if they're using T9 steel, it needs to be comparable specs per tonnage, per flex, and everything on these trailers. Because anybody that's hauled heavy equipment knows that you can bend a rail and then to have it straightened out or have the arch put back in it, you might do that several times and you got junk. You know.
Good advice.
So.
Okay.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion carry. Go to the committee. Under new business, item C. Approve the resolution 15C-029, setting final allocation of a levy authority for the county, for Dakota County Historical Society.
I move to approve resolution 15C-029. I'll second that.
Move and second. Move by Commissioner Rudy, second by Commissioner McNair. Approve resolution 15C-029. Call roll, please.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes. Item D, approve resolution 15C-0307, final allocation for the levy authority for the Dakota County Covington Rural Fire Department. So moved.
Second.
So moved that resolution 15C-0307, final allocation for levy, seconded by Minister McNair. Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Motion carried. Approve resolution 15C-031, setting final location of levy authority for the Emerson Rural Fire Department Protection District.
So moved.
Scott will second it.
Move
I'm going to participate here a little bit today.
I would think.
Well, I'm sleeping, okay? Tired.
Moved by Commissioner Busquets, seconded by Commissioner Love. Approved resolution 15C-031. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. Approved resolution 15C-032. Setting final allocation of the levy authority for the fire protection district number one, Homer.
I got this one. Hold on. So moved on 15C-032. Okay?
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you.
Moved by Commissioner Law, approved by Commissioner Busquets. Roll call, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
I will abstain. I'm on the rural fire board. Homer.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. Move on to item G. Approved resolution 15C-033, approving, adopting, ratified, and affirming the execution of performance of lease purchase agreement with NACO Leasing Corporation of the acquisition of the law enforcement vehicle 3 and equipment cost in the principal amount of $97,719.96.
Tony?
Yes.
So moved on 15C-033, and I think it's a great move because of the equipment that we need to make sure as the public servants, the police officers, yeah, those the vehicles that he's getting rid of are much needed to get rid of, so that's a good thing that we're getting new cars on.
Okay. We need to second it?
Second.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Love and seconded by Commissioner Rory to approve the resolution 15C-033. A call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion carrier. Item H, discussion and action to contingencies regarding the City of South Sioux City request for the county monies to spend in development project. All right. What you guys...
Showtime, Scott. Well, we know that, and I'm sure this is going to be a big discussion among all of us, but we know that we've all had numerous amounts of meetings with the city and the school, the Ho-Chunk people, and a lot of conversations. We basically, one of our last meetings was with... Rick and I met with the mayor and Bruce Davis, and in return, obviously, we all know they want $1.2 million, and I know the school is $1 million roughly, and I think Ho-Chunk is X amount of dollars, and the city is $1.5 million or whatever, but a lot of different numbers have changed. And when we met with them on Friday, you know, Rick and I kind of talked to them about, you know, the possibility of them taking over some of the roads that are adjacent to the South Sioux City, such as, you know, obviously Foundry Road, 39th Street, C Avenue, 48th Street that runs from C Avenue to Dakota Avenue down by K&B and the concrete, Sioux Lake Concrete. Talked about Dixon Path and also talked about Gulf Road, just to keep the county from coming clear into the city to maintain these roads. And basically the conversation went that they did not have an issue of taking Foundry Road and 39th Street, that they just basically wanted us to let them go back to Public Works and get it on their agenda to talk about the other roads that we are wanting them to take over. You know, as far as, you know, maintaining snow, repairs, whatever, and just kind of keeping us coming back into the city. And obviously we know that we're, you know, the timing's never good, obviously, for the county because of the money situations. $1.2 million, kind of what they talked about, you know, I know when Lance Hedquist showed up here, he talked about the deferred or delayed assessments. And as a county, obviously, you know, we cannot do that. So they kind of came up with a plan that if they would bond for all the entities that are involved, and then obviously then they can collect for that deferred assessment, and then we could get some revenues back off of that, which we don't know when or how much that would be. So that's pretty much where we stand at, I guess. And just like I said, you know, there's never a good time just because of our money situation, and obviously we're trying to get our and they know this, and they've told us, we know that you guys are sticking your necks out on doing this because of of our budget. So it's just basically it's discussion time for us, I guess, whatever we decide we want to do. But 15 years is going to be about what, Joan, about $110,000 or $120,000 a year on a payment. So with that said, obviously, we're going to get this fuel tax monies coming in, and we kind of figured the next 3 years is going to be $175,000 or $180,000 roughly. And obviously, we could put that money elsewhere in the county. We know that. And obviously, I explained to them our situations that we're in right now. When they helped us with the jail with the half a cent sales tax, we ended up taking on 48th Street and C Avenue, which is probably a little over $2 million, to pave those roads. And then I explained to them also the flood last year with the $1.5 million or $1.47 million that we had to bond. And the state and the federal levels right now have only reimbursed us like $415,000. I don't think that's going to become any more. So by the time you put interest on that, that becomes $1.9 million. So, we're going to be $1.5 million on paying for Mother Nature last year. So, our bridges situation, I don't know. It's really, I think down the road it'll be a great thing for the city and the county. But it's going to be a long time for, that I can see that there'll be any dividends back to the county.
So the county got any benefits? Yeah.
I don't know. You've all been in meetings as well, and I'm just kind of giving you my thought. I mean, I think we need to do something. With some trade out. Obviously, trade out was our big issue. We do this. Can you take these roads over? It definitely saved us some monies. I don't know.
Any other comments from the board?
Well, they talking when we do these C Avenue, 48th, Dixon Path, are they going to annex those areas, or are they just going to take over the...
They didn't know for sure if they would annex
them in.
That
takes time.
If they would annex them in, or if we just make an agreement.
Okay.
Between the city and the county.
They've got public hearings they have to have if they annex.
That takes 6 months when they spell that complete.
Right.
For several months, I don't know.
And maybe there could be agreement, ahead of time before if they are planning on annexing them in. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we haven't really been told that there's a definite time frame of when the city's going to bond us out. They just want an agreement that we're in. And then Lance has talked several times about delayed assessment. And so everybody understands what the delayed assessment is. We'll put the money out, the roads and the streets will be paved, and then when a developer comes in and builds along that, then they have to pay us for that square footage of concrete that they have in front of their lot. So that money will come back to the county. That's what Lance has been talking about on delayed assessment. So,
and that has to be ran through the cities to get that delayed assessment. The county cannot do that.
Is that necessarily, or the time frame? What we got for time frame? I mean, I know John's still working on a situation about the county monies. Can we wait until next meeting, or we want to do something today? What the board wants to do?
Well, I don't know what's going to change between
now and 2 weeks.
I understand what you're getting at, and I think they told Joan they wanted to get bonded in the spring. Is that correct? So I just think that they just want a commitment so they can move forward. But, you know, as far as, you know, the commitment on all the roads and doing their public works, you know, meetings, I mean, it could take probably a few months. I know that the mayor really assured, and like I said, talked to him and Bruce Davis a lot. And obviously, you know, the mayor can't have a vote. You know, obviously he can be persuaded of, you know, what our demands are, what we need. But there's, you know, a lot of other guys that have to want to go along with this, you know. And you know, they're going to think, well, you know, the county just wants, you know, more out of us. I don't know, whatever that more may be, because I don't think we really, among the half-cent sales tax that we kind of pretty much paid in return, that I can see. I mean, it was $7 million and somehow changed to build the jail, and by the time we get done doing what they wanted us to do in return, 48th Street and C Avenue, it's a wash.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is it or is it not? I mean, it's a wash.
Well, you say a commitment, because I talked to Bruce Davis lunchtime today, and that's the way he put it to me. He said, you guys make a commitment to do it. We make a commitment to the city that take those roads that you want us to take. So what does it take to make a commitment? Just a verbal commitment, or what does it take? Well, I'm not sure about that.
I think a commitment, what they would like to see today from us,
yeah,
is, you know, a commitment stating that we are, you know, in for $1.2 million,
right,
with the contingency of the other three entities, you know, with their monies in, and then also with them taking Foundry and 39th Street, and then that's pretty much what, and then obviously not part of the motion, but, and then also talk about the public works and them taking on these other, you know, four roads, you know, the C Avenue 48.
Was Thompson Edition ever mentioned? It was never mentioned. Rick and I talked about Tompkins in one of the first meetings with Rod and the mayor and Lance. And it was never talked about again, I don't think.
And what did
that was talked about being annexed.
Yeah.
Oh. And that's an area that does cost a lot of money to maintain. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of the roads now in pretty good shape,
yeah,
out there.
But we've never gotten a commitment on that one either.
Yeah, but what happens if we today, we say we're going to wait and see what the work department's going to do, if they're going to accept it or not?
We can do it. We can lay it out however we want. I mean, we can.
I'm just bringing it. I'm
right,
just asking.
I mean,
I think, you know, there's one way of doing it is committing to the 1.2 with the contingencies that they make, that we get those people to take over those roads. If they don't take over those roads, then we're not in.
There we go.
Do you want to add Bennett?
What's that?
Do you want to add Bennett?
Bennett, where's that at?
That's the one that runs. Yeah, Bennett Avenue would have to be added in there as well, I guess.
Sure.
Because 39th Street just goes straight to Bennett. Bennett,
oh,
is the dead end one that goes
right
east, north, and south. That's the road they want to hook on to.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that'd have to be included.
That's good.
Yeah, we don't want to come clear to town just to maintain Bennett all half a mile.
You didn't say it, so I thought.
Yeah.
But with those, I guess, looking at it over, how many years do you think? Well, we'll put in $1.2 million, and if we give them these roads, in 10 years, will we be have our money back, do you think, in maintenance, repairs, and so on? That's $100,000 a year. It won't take long to use that up, I know, if we give up some of these roads.
I guess
it's anybody's guess.
It is a guess. You know, I know that
some of these roads are higher maintenance than others. I know there are a lot of truck traffic and so on. But
what do you think, Brad? That we get?
How much of a relief would it be on the county if they maintain those roads? I mean, obviously, you got to come clear to town. You got to clear, you know. It's like I was talking to Bruce today. He says, you know, you guys come clear from Hubbard? Yes. You know, to maintain these roads. And granted, we're on the outskirts and by the golf course anyways, but it still takes time, money, you know, to come into town. It's no time. If it's graveling on the Hoff, you gravel Bennett, you know, or Foundry Road.
What's your thoughts on that, Brad?
Well, you know, there is some time as going that far. Foundry Road, we
they pretty much kind of maintain that anyways, don't they, on their own?
But we do Bennett, though.
Yes.
We do that, though.
So what's the board wants to do?
Do you have anything to offer?
A few things. You know, listen to you guys. A little bit on the delayed assessment. I think Rick and Scott kind of covered that pretty good. But my understanding of what they have to do to actually levy a tax, they're going to have to put it into an improvement district first. And I've heard nobody say they're going to do that. I mean, I've heard they want everybody to give some money towards it, and that's eventually going to be tipped. But generally what other communities do is the city or the village creates an improvement district. Then they levy a tax for anybody that's going to be impacted by that improvement district. And that's how they pay for the... Actually, an improvement district, it's either called a water, sewer, or something like that. Generally, a road, you make it just to put infrastructure in.
Right.
But then they usually don't tip till after that, because that's when companies will come in and buy up the lots and or what have you. It's a little unique because Ho-Chunk's already on board. But that's how they do it. They don't usually ask, you know, a school or a county or something like that for funds, because they get it. The delayed assessment part comes in. They're deferred and delayed, but that's, since it's in ag ground right now, what they do is that gives the landowner the option to basically say, you know what, I don't want to pay it right now. And then I think it's 5 or 6 years later they pay it, and I think they pay it back with interest. I would say, even with where crop prices and things are at now, if it was my land, I wouldn't delay it. I'd just pay the taxes. I don't want to forecast the market 5, 6 years down the road. So I think there's some decisions are made by a lot of other people than this that are going to impact how much we would ever see. And the first one is, are they going to do an improvement district? And if they are, what are they going to levy? And then we can figure out, if you're going to levy this much, how much money is that you're taking?
I haven't heard anything about that. Have you?
Have you heard such of a race? I mean, have they talked about
that? I've never heard of them saying an improvement district.
I just heard that.
What's that?
What Lance told me was that if we paved the road and a subcontractor would come in and create, or a contractor would come in and create a subdivision, then they would pay that frontage road cost, and then they would put in the other roads, is what he said. Hmm. So would they, kind of like a paving district,
or
almost sounded like to me?
Yeah. You see, that's a situational thing. It kind of depends on what they're doing down there. But we're a little different because we got the developer with us already. Invested in him, and he's got plans drawn. We already know what he's doing.
I don't know if he's going to develop the whole thing. Do you?
No. I think right now,
the other developers?
There's still a couple hurdles in his way to get the rest of the land to do what he wants to do, is our understanding.
He's got the north half, roughly.
Yeah, I think.
From 29th Street to.
And then all the riverfront, though.
Yeah, closer to the Foundry Road stuff, the Beverly Land Company land.
Right.
I don't believe there's any more teams other than the Julia Circle land that's been purchased. And I do believe the last chunk that I think he got, I think the river frontage is bought up.
Right.
Just not the fillable stuff
right
inside of the river. There's some big stuff there that's still open.
And I don't know if they ever got all of the land bought for that road.
I don't know either.
As far as we know, on the easements through there, that they've got commitments, but they're working on dollar figures.
Oh.
Is what they're doing. If this development that Ho-Chunk is doing, plus what the 39th Street and all this going in.
The school.
And I know that they're going to probably TIF this area, but even in that case, with the new homes they're going to go down there, new businesses, their waterfront, they're talking about putting businesses in down on the waterfront and stuff. My question for you, Jeff, what will that mean for the general fund of the county? Is that going to, that is going to increase even though they TIF?
From the assessor's office perspective, yeah, we're not going to pick up. The only thing that for a tax revenue purpose would be sticks, so we're going to be stuck at whatever the land value is.
But the new homes that are going to be built on there, we'll get revenue off of those too, though.
No.
Not
for 15
years.
No.
Not for 15?
Yeah.
Not for 15, yeah. Oh. Yeah, the brick and mortar that goes in. So basically what will happen is I got to lock it in, what they call the base value. And the way the special valuation system works, it's going to be tricky to beat the city, because as soon as the city puts a shovel in, essentially that ground goes to $17,000 to $20,000 an acre for residential purposes. But we lag a year, so we're never really ever going to be able to catch up. So we're going to be somewhere between $5,000-$6,000 an acre for the schools, us, ag, historical. The rest of us are going to levy against that $5,000-$6,000 an acre. The city of South Sioux, this is what makes the TIF so great, that the city of South Sioux gets all the rest of it. Ethanol plant Jackson, I always like to use that one because it's just one parcel. It's a simple thing. We had $4,000 an acre on the land. They tip it, and within 2 years, it's $35 million. That goes to Jackson, and they can turn around and help whatever benefits they give the ethanol plant. I don't know, but that's how it works. It'll be the same thing even with HCI. As you stage this thing in, you're looking, Connecticut's invested right at $16,000-$17,000 an acre right now. And you figure a standard, you know, if they're going to plot it the way I've seen it, it's like city lots, it's going to be a quarter of an acre. And if you did it like, so it's four lots an acre. Right now, just from what I've seen, they've sold on Julia Circle, if that's their pricing, it's about $30,000 to $35,000 a lot.
He said he has $8 million. $17,000
investment just turned into $100,000. He doesn't get to realize it in 1 year. I mean, he's got to project that out. But you start doing that, that doesn't count the houses. And I don't know if anybody's been down 77, 75. You saw HCI's lot. He's got two in already in Julia Circle. Unless they're just sitting there, there's a lot of that stuff from Minnesota sitting in that lot right now. Those modular homes, the pieces to it, I don't know where they're going. Is that where they're going?
And them's going to Winnipeg.
Right. Is that what it is? Yeah. And I think his company's in Minnesota that makes them.
Yeah. But even with the TIF, mm-hmm. if I understand this right, even with the TIF, the value of the land would go up, say, five or six times. We would get that.
No.
I thought it was just the...
Yeah, no, it's the land.
Stays flat. Okay, I thought the land would go up and we would see.
Realize that. Yeah. No, but it stays flat.
I thought it was just the improvements. Okay.
And the way it's structured for when they can put in for the TIF by a certain, I think it's August 1st. Joan corrected me on that. You got it. Whatever Joan says it is, but they have to put that date on to put it in. The way it's structured, I mean, they can stay ahead of us for every phase.
So we won't realize any big money out of this for 15 years.
I mean, it's going to be, you can pretty much, the first 147 acres of development is probably going to be at, we'll stay where we're at now, at the 5,000 or 6,000 roughly. I think it's probably about 5,800, I think, down there, but an acre.
You know, remember something. We know that Ho-Chunk has a lot of money invested in down there. Okay, regardless. Okay. I mean, something's going to happen down there. Because he told me he had $8 million, Lance Morgan did, invested in that down there. And not have collected a dime off anything. The thing we got to remember is, obviously, the only thing that concerns me is we know in 15 years, probably half of us won't be here, Dick will still be here. But we know that there's going to probably be some return to the county. But what scares me, and I even said this to Bruce Davis, then all of a sudden in 15 years, something else is going to be happening down there. And then all of a sudden, here comes another TIF. Okay? So then all of a sudden, you know, it becomes another 15-year run.
And it probably will.
And more than likely it could. Because in 15 years, there's no way that thing's going to be all developed down there. No way.
Yes, it can. There's no regulation.
Not unless things really turn loose.
You know, and I've said from the get-go, I think it's a great idea. Is it a do-or-die for South Sioux? I know that a lot of those city council people have been pushing this for a long time. I know, you know, Mr. Davis has been one of them. You know, he's been around for 25, 30 years, and he's been trying to get that developed for a long time.
Well, I was on the planning and zoning when Stan and Neil started. We swore to God the houses would be built over here, and that went over there. That was just a lot out there. Bare lot. Look at it now.
Full.
I mean, that's all I got to say. You know, it's full of houses.
One other thing on the 15 years that we got to remember, too, is that's like a term. So that's the first term for it. They get that first 15, but they can renew. And all that is an application process. And unless legislation changes right now, all they got to do is submit an application and it's renewed. Unless
so when
either another 10 or...
When it's renewed, they don't go back on any type of dollar amount that it was set in that all of a sudden it changes for the county?
No, I think basically the application is it's an extension. It wasn't successful for whatever reason. They need to add more, they need more money or whatever. So there's some research to be done on that too. Now, the city, they haven't, five TIFs I've known that they've run. I think they got two active left. They've never renewed one. The closest we're going to see is there was a TIF around Great West in that area down in there, and I think they've already approved the blight study, and I believe they're going to re-TIF that. They haven't yet, but all they have to do is submit it now. They've already got all the paperwork to do it. That's not a renewal. They're just re-TIFing in the same area. But they do have three ready, planning and zoning approved blight plans for the city of South Sioux now. And that's one of the things I think maybe I like, you know, the contingencies taking over some of those roads and things. In my opinion, another contingency, and let's cap them on TIFs. Say the city or the village or whatever, you for the next 15 years, if you don't renew, you can, you know, three TIFs, that's it. The two you got active now, and then the new TIF for this HCC project. And in 5 years, when the next one comes off, you can have another one. And then it's another five after that, the next one comes off, then you can have another one, but never more than three TIFs. So we can realize some of the growth. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're hunting and pecking. We're living off of Rotunda and Bralda and the little bit that Matney's done down there. We're living off of that for growth. We don't have a lot of
growth. Is the only thing that's going to grow that restricted funds live. So.
Can the county get a percentage of TIF?
We was told no. We was told no, but then I asked Wayne Boyd. He said, you can structure it. If you want to structure it, you can structure it however you want, he says. So originally, the city said, no, you cannot, you know, break a TIF up the dollar amounts.
But I think Jeff make a good point about the renewal, you know, because it could be not only 50, it could be 20 years, it could be 25 years. And the contingencies, you know, we can include that when it's not going to be more than three renew or something of that nature, you know, I don't know. But I think that's a good point.
Because yeah. They are kind of a county. I like TIFs too. I don't want to sound like I'm being negative about because if you're actually going to generate this, you're going to bring growth into our county. We have to be for that. You know, we can. If it's going to work, but at the same point, you got to share it too. When you tip it, you're not sharing. And it's not just with the county. They're not sharing with the schools. They're not sharing with the Historical Society, the Ag Society, NRDs. Nobody but the city shares in that growth. And the whole purpose of the TIF is so they can afford to pay for that growth. And the improvement district is in place so they can afford to pay to put the streets in to bring the business in. What I like to know is how they, you know, if they're going to do it that way, then what's their math to say they're 1.2 million down that the county has to have?
In one of our conversations with Edquist, I brought that fact up about what they were going to do with that TIF, and Lance said that TIF money has to go into putting sewer and water and streets in, and that's the only place it can be used.
Because that's usually, well, and that's true. Maybe that's what he does it when you do it in a TIF, because I didn't.
Yeah, that's what he told me in that area.
Yeah, because, you know, the we all, I think in the county, well, the assessor's office, I do chapter 7, but all the statutes that govern us, the city has two, they're 18 and 19.
Because when they TIFed Great West Area, I was always waiting for them to do something with West 29th Street out past Great West up to Bloomers out that area. And nothing ever happened. Then I did a little research, and where they used that TIF money on was Gherkin Window, Daniels Lane area on that south end for sewer and water, and then past the Boys and Girls Home. They had a lift station down there and things like that. So that money did get used there.
I think their next tip, what they're thinking down there, if this would apply, because I've been calling the road or the maintenance people or whatever. They got all these holes down along there, and I drive up down there probably 10 times a day, and they said that they were planning on doing a 3-lane down through there, leading them with the center turning lane. So that's when they tip that, if they're going to use. A lot of people going in on Great West.
And Great West is supposed to be doing an expansion, too. I don't know when it's going to happen, but that's in the mill.
I am convinced, and I don't know where we guys want to go with this here, but I am convinced that, you know, by talking to the mayor, he's very convincing that he's on our side of getting those other roads taken care of. But however you guys want to go about it, but yeah, Rod said that he would definitely.
You know, one thing that I don't know is I'm just thinking. I know you guys been met so many times and spent a lot of hours with Lance and the councilman and the city administrator. But I think, you know, if we still got time, look more into it and bring Jeff along, you know, with questions that you guys might have, and he can input some of his knowledge that he has as a county assessor. But I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, Jeff went to our last meeting with Joan and I.
You went, Jeff? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right. No, he did. He did. Oh, okay. He made a lot of good points. And
good. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
No, that's all right.
Well, what the board wants to do.
I want to make sure that the county gets, you know, if we invested $1.2 million, that we're going to get this money, at least a portion of it back, or a good portion. And we can say we're going to use a gas tax to pay that bond, but we all know where farmland values are headed, you know, and that's going to bite us someday, maybe 3 or 4 years from now, or 5 or 6, but, you know, can we afford to put all this money out there? We need to get, and I know you guys have worked on that, and I think we can. By doing these roads, I think we'll get a portion of it back, or maybe all of it. Maybe take 10 years, but can we afford to hang on that long? I don't know. These farmland values are going to tumble pretty fast. And I just want to make sure we don't
get ourselves in there.
Yeah. I mean, you got to run like it's your own business. And I think myself, I'd like to, and I know you guys have, you've been to every meeting, Scott.
Well, not every, but it's just
most things going on a long time. But, you know, and like Rick said, maybe, you know, if we do a motion and approve it contingent upon some of these roads. But personally, I'd like to see Tompkins in there, and maybe they wouldn't go with that. That would be huge.
That would be a
big
county
for us.
Basically, the thing is that when they do, let's say a Tompkins area, they've got to advertise it. They got to have a public hearing.
Right.
And the residents in that area have to go along with it. And if the residents in that area don't go along with it, then the city can't annex it. Right. So I don't know. Larry could speak on if Rotunda would be willing to be in that. There's sewer and city, sewer, water, and everything in Rotunda.
Yeah, Tompkins doesn't have sewer. They got water, rural water.
Yeah, they got
rural water.
I say what I had a couple conversations a year back, and even the people of the Tompkins area at one time tried to get annexed. Some did. They got together, had a committee, and so forth, but it fell through. Because a lot of people didn't want to pay the cost of getting hooked up to the sewer to ban and such things. And it had been an expensive thing. I mean, I've never heard no figure, but in my mind, if they had to put sewer, well, and then the city's got this complains that the water main in there is not adequate pressure-wise. Well, it's a 200 PSI pressure pipe. There's nothing wrong with the pipe. There's thousands and thousands of miles in our water systems. That's what it is. But in my mind, to upgrade that, put city sewer in, it could be any worse from 3 million to 7 or 8 million. And I know the city's not going to go that route. And that's what they said. You know, just too costly. If they maybe research another system, there's two different other systems. There's a vacuum system that draws the sewage away from the people. Then there's another system that each individual's got thrown pumped into a common force main that pumps it to a master lift station, which pumps it on into the city. And I don't know if they've ever looked into such a thing, but they're in the country. And it still won't be a cheap fix because you'd have to go down the back lot lines, down what if they had alleys, which they don't. You know, you got gardens and utilities and other things. So at least it'll keep away from the depth, the horrendous depth. If they started out, they'd have to be 20 foot deep. And that sand, hell, it'd be wider than this room is long, probably, the trenches. You know. It'd just not be practical at all. So if they was looking into a force main system or a vacuum, it might be the answer. But at least maybe only 2 or 3 million. You know.
But that whole process would take
years. Yeah, it's just
years.
I mean, as far as annexation, the city don't want the place. We want to be annexed out where we are because of the benefits. But in talking to my attorney, it just can't get around there. You know, you annex, you got to go straight through. Well, needless to say, the Tompkins here takes up the whole area. And the only way you could maybe would, well, if one were to go through Home Hardy's down to Holmstein's, but Hardy's probably not nuts about it, kind of taxes. There was talk one time maybe get a strip of his field and come in there back, in the back way, you might say. But that's not even. I don't even know how legal that would be. You know, Wayne didn't think that was really the approach to take. That's right. But as far as back to the road deal, Fred's a certified motor grader operator. He'd be giving away the easiest road to blade in winter. If you got to give him that road, just you drop the burn floats and go in for it. Just call me truck. That'd be a fun stretch to do.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Fred, would it be possible for you and Jolene to look at these roads we're talking about giving up and give us an estimate of what you think we can save in a year or 10 years?
Yeah.
Can you put something like that together? Just a rough idea.
Yeah. The average hours that we use.
Right. And yet in some of these paved roads, you're going to have to figure, I mean, they aren't going to go 10 years without any maintenance. You know that.
Do you have a cost per mile?
Most of them are paved roads now, though, correct?
Right.
You're talking about C Avenue, 48.
Golf.
There's not much maintenance to them as they're new roads. Snow removal.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Could they take Tompkins in an interlocal agreement to
take the streets?
Maintain?
Yeah, can we
without annexing?
Yeah.
They probably can, but I don't
like Lake Avenue, maybe.
I don't know. By talking to him, it's just I
you doubt it, huh?
I highly, highly, highly doubt it.
I just don't think we're gonna get $1 million back in 10 years on this.
Right? Well, and the thing is, I don't think we can exchange it dollar for dollar. Cause like
not.
I said, we can't. There's just no way that we can. We got to think about the long term of what's gonna happen. That's where we got to kind of set our sights in, because I'm thinking that we're going to definitely save money by them not coming into town, or our county people coming into town and letting them take those roads over. But I guess, you know, the long term of it, you know, of the revenue standpoint.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and the Walmart tip's going to be coming off in the next 4 years.
2005, 20, 15 years.
Roughly 4 or 5 years. What was that, 2005?
That's the next one coming off.
Yeah. You know, so that'll be some.
When we've been in some of these meetings, and Lance Morgan's been there, and some of his development people, and they've been talking that this thing is going to have a venue down at the river, restaurants,
little town square.
It's going to bring, and if it does take off, and with the pork processing plants that are coming into town and the increased population, and if they're right on their figures of the housing, is we don't have adequate houses to house people. If it does take off, it could, you know, with just people coming into the community and spending money and things like that, it's good. It can't hurt. But I think you do have to invest in your community, but I don't know. The return. Don't know the return.
But, you know, some of this terminology, like Jeff just said, maybe we could put terminology in there that they can't tip over X amount of years. Do some of those things in our agreement so we can, so they can re-tip it in 15 years or going to their five, right? You know, then the,
or just limit the number, because that's where, as the ag land, I think I mentioned this, Scott, in that meeting that we were talking about when I opened, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm just forecasting for the board. The board makes all the decisions. I can't speak for you guys, but I can, as the guy that puts the dollars to things, I can tell you now, ag, if I go by my sales now, one more year of high sales coming off, I had grassland drop this year in one market area 27%. And the numbers are lower this year sales. Great was another high year. Now, we are putting new cost tables on residential. We've got the commercial project underway. And we're finding on some of the commercial stuff, though, we're going to lower some things. It wasn't, I was thinking maybe we were low across the board, but we were using the wrong methodology. We put the income approach to it and follow statute. There's a couple that are going to go down from our initial results. So I don't have near the comfort of commercial making up for the reduction in ag. I don't have that comfort level at all anymore. So forecasting it out, it's, and you know, if they have three blight plans already approved, that is three tips. And in big areas. And it's not just, you know, I know we're talking specifically about Sausage, but Jackson has three active tips. The village of Jackson has three active tips. They even kept exempt ground because they thought maybe they could build out there at some point. It's exempt, so I'm keeping, well, it's costing the county money for my office right now to track a tip on exempt property. It is the silliest, and that just shows you there's no regulation on these tips. They tried to pass legislation this year and never made it. And I don't see it ever coming.
Well, we've had comments made on this deal, too, that if the county doesn't go in with a $1.2 million, it's dead in water. Yeah, so, we're going to either do it or we're not.
That's the question.
We're either going to do it or we're not.
Yes, Bob.
I think we ought to do it with those, or make a, I'd make a motion that we're, go ahead, Bob.
Is there any way we could do it on a gradual, say, first year is going to be 100,000, second year is going to be another 100, and then as we see development, maybe, you know, we'll ramp up to the 10.
John Tracek said a weighted bond would cost a lot more interest.
Yeah.
Would not.
Well, but it's still, if there's nothing, if there's no development after 3 years or 4 years, you know, we've got a right to, you know, you cut your losses too. I mean, it gives a little insurance on the end. You know, we don't have to jump in for the whole thing. I don't know. It's just a thought.
See, the city even said to us, you know, when we was explaining, you know, all of our expenses and all of our, you know, our bonds that we have right now with the flood or whatever, it's like, well, let's just, you know, gradually start off with a, you know, lower payment and then, you know, gradually get it up there. But the problem is we can't forecast what's going to happen in 5 years from now. You know, who's, you know, all of a sudden we got this huge payment and then, you know, things, you know, I'd rather get it paid for sooner than later. I mean, if it's going to be the case.
Well, could we bond the million and let it sit and use it as we need it?
We pay interest.
The problem with us bonding, yes, we can bond, and we probably would make the payment. But if we bond it ourselves, then we can't get the delayed assessment. So we're not going to get those monies back for the paving, the sewer, the water, and stuff like that. So if the city bonds it, then the city can collect the delayed assessment and in turn pay us back.
With an interlocal agreement.
Is a delayed assessment only with an improvement district?
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
I read, because the initial information Lance put out on that one, I think it might have been, was it York? It was a specific city that was doing it, and I was confused.
Thankfully, I've never heard of it.
Yeah. But the, it's a, I think, a class one and a class two city or a village. They're the only ones that can do that, to issue that levy. I think it has to be first. The way I read Chapter 18, and then there's a section of Chapter 19, too.
Have they ever given us any ideas how much that could be for the county? I've never heard any figures yet.
They don't know.
I know we can make it anything we want, but it's got to be realistic, too.
The only thing that they do know is that if we punch the street in here, that the school system is wanting to build a new school and some other things in that area. And if we don't go in, then it's not going to happen.
And the school is like a Walmart. I mean, a school goes in, houses.
Yeah,
houses, right. And see, what the school wants to do is correct me if I'm wrong, but 29th Street to Foundry, that's pretty much where Ho-Chunk has his things going on. 29th Street to go to the north. See, and the school wants to be from 29th to 39th. They want to be to the south is where they want to be at. Just to be for functionable, get off G Street, with all the traffic congestion now, and then be closer to 39th Street.
It would make a lot more sense for them to be on that.
Right.
I think we still got some time. I don't know what your motion was going to be, Rick, but we still got some time, so that Fred can give us some figures what the cost is to bring those guys into town, and things like that. What's one represent of our savings? It's up to you guys, but let's put a final next meeting and we decide.
I know we all have a different perspective on this, and I think I know where Rick was going to go with this, with the motion, but I think he was going to basically say, we're in or we're out, and I think one way or the other, I think we're going to be in, but obviously there's a lot of unanswered questions. But in the same time, I know that we can have Fred go back and give us some numbers, and I'm not opposed to that, but the long term, the longevity of it, just kind of like Rick was even saying, the revenues and what it's going to bring to the, it's going to be good for the county someday. And I know as the county board, we need to be accountable for that $1.2 million. I understand that. But I don't know any other way how we cannot be involved in some form or shape or way. I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, how can we,
guess I would like to hear from Lance and say, just get a number, what this deferred assessment can mean to the county. And then maybe, I know that another 2 weeks goes by, but I don't think time's that important. Maybe put some verbiage in there on the TIF to where they can't renew. Some of those things. And 2 weeks, I'll be ready to do it, I promise you.
Well, no. And I'm not saying this has
to be
done.
This has been going on a long time.
But I'm going to use my favorite line. I'm getting exhausted.
Well, I know.
Between Texas and phone calls and meetings with
it. I know it's got
it. I mean, but it's a big decision. I know it is. It's a big decision. And just because of me being exhausted, I don't want all of a sudden just to say, hey, let's just do this and get on to our next. And I know it's huge.
But I'd be glad to get a hold of Lance and see if he can throw a number at us. I would do that.
And I'd like to
Lance
know
Morgan or Lance Hedquist.
What we can say.
I think he,
I don't know.
He could furnish us that. We aren't going to be able to put $100 a foot out there, but we'll do something realistic. They're probably going to get half. We're going to get the other half.
So basically, we're going to get some figures from Fred, and you or Joan or whoever is going to get with Lance and figure out kind of a rough dollar amount.
And then cap the TIF thing, if we can. I think we can. I mean,
because if they want it that
bad, we're going to help them.
But what if
a TIF is you generally for 15 years.
Right. And they can go less if they want.
And they can go less. So, you know,
I would say a TIF is for the improvements of sewers and streets. I mean, if they have something big going on, you know, maybe structure the TIF differently. You know, where, you know, like I said, the city attorney, you know, he told me it can be structured where you guys can get some dollars out of the deal. You know, you can't really be, you can be negative about a TIF just because we're capped for 15 years of no monies. But it's probably a good thing that if they do TIF an area where they're going to put in streets and they're, you know, use that tax dollars there, you can't really be negative about a TIF.
No,
But you got to be negative about how, you know, there's no revenue for the county for 15 years. You know, it's kind of
the number of TIFs, not the direct, yeah. It's just the sheer number. The volume is what's going to hurt us. It's hurting us now. I mean, we didn't realize near the growth we thought we were going to this year. And I can tell you right now, from early numbers, you're not going to see it next year either. It's the number of the TIFs. It's not the TIF itself that hurts, because the TIFs, like Scott said, are good. It's a double-edged sword, and you got to swallow them sometimes, unfortunately. But on the back end, you're going to get, we're going to realize a return on the investment in a TIF. I mean, if he puts in 100 houses, you know, at price range, let's say the average tax per house at the end of 50, it's $3,500, $4,000 a house. Do the math on that. A year, you know, then it can be a good thing. Commercial, if he does the businesses, like he's saying, the waterfront's going to be huge. That's going to be good, too. But the city can't, and we can help them, but don't turn around and tip three more projects and not let us be able to pay the bill.
One thing is kind of bothersome, and I think at one of the last meetings or a couple of meetings ago that I asked them, you know, the Richardson Milling, you know, whatever that's going to be, $18 or $20 million by the time they're done, you know, what are you doing for them, okay, on this TIF, this blighted area that you got going on this TIF? Nothing. They don't want anything. Okay, so then what else do you have going on out there? Oh, nothing, not to my knowledge. So basically, they're just basically TIFing. Are they just TIFing that just to get the tax dollars? I mean, no, I question that.
You have to question it. I mean,
we're probably banking on something else going in. In an area.
Well, that money's supposed to be used in that area
for infrastructure.
For infrastructure. Yeah. And if they're not, they're in violation of it.
Exactly. Which is why I'm thinking with this one, if they do the improvement district first, which is a way to put in infrastructure. Because if you do an improvement district and pay for your streets and your sewers up front, then when you TIF, you pay your TIF off 5 to 7 years, then we're not even talking about a 15-year TIF anymore. So I don't know why to me it seems like they're skipping a step.
Yeah. You know, when this project, there's going to be a lot of earth that's going to need to be moved. You're going to put plumbers, you're going to put contractors, paving, you're going to put a lot of people to work. There's going to be a lot of jobs come out of this deal. If that, you know, that's part of stimulation your community, you know, in your county, you're going to put hopefully that the contractors in this area get the work, you know. I just think we're good. I don't know. If you guys want to wait another 2 weeks, I would. You know, we can't. But I think we need to make a decision. Make the decision in 2 weeks, whether we're in or we're out.
That's what I'm saying.
We're not going to beat. I'm tired of beating this deal
too. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Let's make the decision in 2 weeks, and regardless what, and do it. And I agree with Rick and Scott. You know, I mean, we. Them if you do it, them if you don't, but I think we got to do it somehow. You know, we got to just find a way to work for the county. Period. But you got to be realistic too. I mean, if they're really going to build all these things they say they're going to build, eventually it's going to create jobs and going to create some revenue somehow. Taxes and sales tax, excuse me. And
all well, there, you know, there's got to be more. There'll be more. Stores built, whether it's a convenience store, gas station, or whatever in that area, there's going to be more houses, and maybe, you know,
just there's going to be spinoffs.
Yeah. So
one thing about Ho Chunk, he'll spend money.
Oh yeah.
He'll spend it.
So let's get moving.
Okay.
I fall asleep.
Well, I'd say that we just have it on the next agenda to make the decision. Move on with Fred's report.
To make sure that we get it done next agenda. Yep. I mean, for sure, because you know we're going to be set on here for another.
Have it on the agenda and have it read to make a definite decision on the $1.2 million that the county's going to go in on. Where it's not beat it up anymore.
We're done with it.
There you go. So we're just going to leave it that way and we're going to put on the next agenda item for the next meeting. So no action on this. So I think we had enough comments. Fred?
45 minutes worth. That's a good discussion, though.
Oh, my God.
August 16th to August 29th, 321 total hours of road maintenance, 9 hours of overtime, 4.5 hours of tree and debris removal, 2 hours of garbage pickup, gravel hauled, 1,594 tons of aggregate. Sign repair, 17.5, 13 signs. Installation, 4 hours, 4 signs. A couple hours on barricades. Road concerns, grading, 162nd, Nottawave, Flyberg, Civil Way, 210, Pierce, Platte Road, Elgin. Gravel, 162nd, Iverton, Glyburg, 250th, S Avenue, 190th Street, Platte Road, and 260th. Culvert concerns, Oakdale Road.
Hey, Frank, quick question. Kennesaw, it's advertised? Is that correct?
I think September 14th, the bids will be open.
And I had somebody call me today, and I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll learn about it, but I didn't know.
Oh, is that the tube replacement?
I think so, yes.
Bridge removal.
Yeah, okay.
Tubes in.
Good.
Any more questions for Fred?
Elgin Avenue. I mean, there's a big hole in it.
Okay.
It needs to have some rock or something put in it.
I see that yesterday.
Right in front of that guy's house, by his mailbox. Just
John Heitman.
John Heitman's house.
Yeah. He hasn't called? If he has not called?
No.
It needs attention.
Okay. So. Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Commissioners Committee reports.
I'll have a bunch next time.
We had a group come from Watertown, South Dakota, and they toured our jail. And they're in the process of doing a vote and building a new jail in Watertown, and going through the jail with Sheriff Kleinberg and that group. I just want to say Chris is really moving forward with doing some different things in there, and I think it's going to all be good.
Very good.
Over here on the sally port of the jail, the concrete has eroded and it's become a hazard, and out of that half cent we have some of those funds yet that are there. There's a couple hundred thousand there, I believe, right, Joan? And we're going to have to do some repair on that concrete, so you're going to be seeing some activity out there, maybe some rerouting. We're going to get some bids on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then all the flooring in the jails in poor shape, and talked to Sheriff Kleinberg, and he just wants to rip it out and put some finishes on the concrete and let go with that. He said it'll last forever.
Yeah. You know, forward.
Okay.
We're polishing concrete.
Yeah.
Varnishing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're working on doing some painting and maybe changing some things in there. Chris has got some good ideas. So,
just hoping that, do what we want him to do it. Okay, any more?
He took another thing he did. is he took television away from the he took cable television away from the prisoners. They have all local channels now, 4,
good.
9, 14, 44, 27.
And that's all you need.
He went up there himself and put an antenna up and strung it.
Yeah. Maybe they'll go out then.
So he said, you know, it was 60, 70 bucks a month that we were paying for that.
Tent city good deal.
Yeah?
Good deal. Anything else, Rick? Anybody else had anything?
Joan and I met with all the department heads today and elected officials and kind of went over the budget. I know next month we got to adopt it, and I know that from the get-go they came back, and we appreciate it a lot. They came back and give back $35,000 and some change. Almost $37,000. So, and we stressed to them that if you need something, yes, we're on a very tight line, obviously. But if you need something, let's make sure that we're being smart about things. You know, kind of like I use for an example, like, you know, Chris with his cars. You know, so keep putting money into something that ain't worth anything, but everybody did, you know, come back with some monies for us. So, you want to add something else to that, John?
Anything, Rudy?
No.
Nothing. Okay. If there's any more, we need to report. Mail and emergency business. I got the letter of resignation from Ted Piper, and I read it to you guys. Dear Chair Gomez and fellow board members, I would like to take the opportunity to inform you that I hereby submitted my resignation as a county clerk effective 11:59 p.m. October 4, 2015. I will also like to extend my deepest appreciation and thanks to the citizens of Dakota County for their support for the last 36 years that I had had the pleasure of representing their best interests in my position. Thank you,
Gilroy Piper.
So, we need a motion to accept his resignation.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Scott, second by McNair to accept the resignation for the county clerk. Call roll.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Public comments. I think we have enough.
Larry, anything? Oh, yeah, I figured you did. I could see it in your eye.
I ain't got time to do.
Well, I'll give you 5 minutes.
All right. I got a question for Jeff.
Yes.
My land tax went about 30-some-odd dollars an acre about 3 years ago. Three or something. Okay. As land values come down, will I receive the $43 again that I didn't have then? $43 per
acre. I don't know. Part of the reason I can't answer that is because we're part of the equation. We'll set where that value goes, but like the board just did today, the piece that gets confusing to see where we get it per acre is what them levies are. Just as, you know, I could set everybody to $2,000 an acre and say that's what it is today, but is everybody just going to raise the levies and then keep you from getting down to that dollar per acre amount again?
So we're struggling right now with the $30 increase over the 43. Well, there's others paying more, one of more, but my case. When we're struggling as a county to pay bills or to come up with money to do this. So, in my mind, if that goes away at $30, if we can't make it today, how can we make it then? Financially.
That's a lot of our concern, Larry.
We hope the state steps in and
gives us some money.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to. You know, they've taken away. And when Governor Hyman was in there, they nailed us pretty good.
No, they need it.
I think Hyman's whole objective was when he was leaving office because his terms were done. What he said, they're 10 years, I think. did he have two a part of the one governor or whatever? Yeah. But I think he wanted to be in the block. He wanted things looking really, really serious. He did.
But it put a burden on
us. But he put a burden on the counties. Right. So what we're hoping for, Larry, and I don't think it's going to be a wash, and Jeff might be able to answer this, but, you know, we have some commercial appraisers that are appraising, you know, 850, 900 properties that have been undervalued.
But Jeff says that they're not going up to where you thought they could be or would be, value-wise.
The commercial properties?
Yes.
Year one, we haven't realized what we thought. It's a three-year project, though. But we are hitting the big stuff. We started at the river, and we're just going to work our way all the way through the county.
I don't know. I don't know other than that maybe I should take a contemplation and talk to the city and get a tip.
I knew it.
If all the improvements were made, we're going to think about it.
I knew it.
And we ought to go retroactive for about 8 years.
There you go. Good luck.
See, then everybody be happy there.
I heard Nebraska talk today, the guy from Cedar County. He's some big shop down Lincoln. But he said, pasture ground has went up in Nebraska. Farm ground, dry ground has went down, and irrigation ground went down.
Well, the state of Nebraska now. Right.
Is what he
said. But it don't make a whole lot of difference because I was only $25 an acre.
I know.
For very good ground, best.
I know.
And we're 75 to 85. I guess I'm 73, but I got poor ground everywhere, and it drowns out. But, I don't know.
He's a big shot down Lincoln. He's from Cedar
County. I got much time to worry about, but
I don't know.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome, Tony.
Take care, Larry. Dick, we're going to spend 1 minute out of your time, so I'm sorry.
Here!
I forgot I only had 2 minutes.
That's okay.
Some people get 10, but I only get 5.
Yeah, because we talked 5 minutes at lunch already, so that's why I only give you 5.
Yeah, I never learned nothing.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much. Dennis, anything else? Anybody from the public? Listen.
Blake, you have anything to say?
Meeting
adjourned. Yeah.